Our New Testament reading today comes from Romans chapter 8, if you'd like to join along in a pew Bible or in your own Bible. Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Before we read God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we cannot live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from you. Father, we pray that as we read your word, that you would feed us, that your Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear, that your Holy Spirit would take your word and seal it upon our hearts, that you would fill us with your word, sustain us by your word, that you would give us life through your word. And we pray this in the name of the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis 50, the last chapter of Genesis. Genesis 50, beginning with verse 15. This is our final day in our study of Joseph. We've been looking at Joseph for a number of months now. We are at the end of Genesis. Genesis 50, beginning with verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own, and Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Jacob was dead. The son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, was dead. Israel was dead. And he died in Egypt, not in his own land, not in his own home, not in the land of his fathers, not in Canaan, but he died in Egypt. For 17 years, Jacob lived in Egypt. His family lived in Egypt. And Israel was in Egypt, Jacob was in Egypt because of Joseph. Joseph was one of the sons of Israel. Israel had 12 sons, but Joseph was his favorite. Jacob loved Joseph best. And this love for Joseph, this favoritism that he had for this son, was made visible through a gift, a robe. Jacob gave Joseph a robe, a tunic of many colors, a royal robe. Now, Joseph not only had this fancy robe, Joseph also had dreams. He had dreams where his brothers bowed down to him, dreams where his brothers bowed before him, dreams that he unwisely shared with them. Now, not surprisingly, Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. In fact, his brothers hated him. They hated him for his robe. They hated him for his dreams. They hated him enough to want to kill him. And one day, opportunity came. So they seized Joseph. They stripped him of his royal robe. But instead of killing Joseph, they sold him into slavery. They sold him to slave traders who were on their way to Egypt. Then they tore the robe. They dipped it in animal's blood, and they showed it to their father. They deceived their father. Jacob believed that Joseph was dead. Jacob believed that his favorite beloved son was dead. But he wasn't. He was alive in Egypt. First, he was a slave, and then he was in prison. But God raised Joseph up through a number of events in his life, circumstances around his life. Joseph became Prince of Egypt. He went from prison to prince. He went from chains to crown, second only to Pharaoh in power and honor and authority. Once again, Joseph wore royal robes. Now, as Prince of Egypt, Joseph's primary work for the nation was preparation. Joseph prepared Egypt for the coming famine. God revealed to Pharaoh in a dream that for 7 years there would be an abundance of crops, that the fields would be overflowing with crops, but for the next 7 years, the fields would be empty, dry. So Joseph stored up food. For 7 years, he stored up food. He put away food. He prepared Egypt for the coming famine. And when it came, when there was no rain, when there were no crops, when there was no food, Egypt had food. They were ready. So not surprisingly, people from surrounding nations, people from far and wide, came to Egypt to get food and to buy food, including the family of Jacob, including the sons of Israel. Joseph's brothers, the very ones who hated him, who wanted him dead, who sold him into slavery, came to Egypt, and they came before Joseph. Entering their brother's presence, they bowed before him. They bowed down to him. Now, Joseph recognized them. They didn't recognize Joseph, but instead of taking revenge on his brothers, instead of using his power as Prince of Egypt to punish his brothers for the wrong that they did to him, for their transgressions that they committed against him, Joseph forgave his brothers. Forgave them. He forgave their sin. And not only did Joseph forgive their sin, Joseph provided for his brothers. He provided for his family all through the famine. In fact, he had his brothers and their families, he had his father, all move to Egypt so that he could provide for them, so that they would make it through the famine. For 17 years, God's people lived in Egypt. For 17 years, they were provided for by the Prince of Egypt, Joseph. Then Jacob died. Israel died. Now, after his death, Joseph's brothers said this to one another. Look at verse 15 again. They said this: "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So now that their father was dead, the brothers were afraid. Now that their father was dead, the brothers were afraid of Joseph. They were afraid that he would pay them back. They were afraid that he would get revenge. They were afraid that he would punish them for what they did to him. They were afraid that for years Joseph was simply holding back while their father was alive, refraining out of honor for him. But all the while, Joseph was plotting and planning and waiting. They were afraid of what the prince of Egypt might do to them and their families. They knew they had committed a terrible sin against them. They knew that they were under his power. Now that Israel was dead, what was Joseph going to do? Now, have you ever been there? Now, not in Egypt. Maybe some of you have. But have you ever been there? Have you ever sinned? Not necessarily on the same level as Joseph's brothers, but you did someone wrong. You wronged someone. And the one that you sinned against forgave you. You asked for forgiveness, and they forgave you. You were reconciled to them. But days later, maybe months later, maybe years later, maybe even decades later, every time you thought of this particular sin, every time you thought of this particular wrong, every time it came to mind, you were afraid. You were fearful. You were afraid that you weren't really forgiven. You were afraid that the person that you sinned against was just waiting to bring it up again, to use it against you, to hold it over you, to punish you with it. Maybe they did. Maybe more than once. Now, on the other hand, have you ever had someone wrong you or sin against you and you used it like a weapon against them? Held them in fear. This is what the brothers thought was going on. So Jacob was dead. Israel was dead. The brothers were afraid. And so they did two things. Our passage tells us they did two things. First, they sent Joseph a message. They didn't go to him directly first. The first thing they did was send him a message. And this message is in verse 16. Look at that verse again, verse 16. Here's the message. Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father. Well, what the brothers did was remind Joseph of the words of their father, the words of Israel, words that he would surely hear, and they hoped that he would obey. And that actually was one word, and that word was forgive. Forgive. Forgive your brothers. Forgive their sin. Forgive the evil that they committed against you. And in this message, not only did they say, this is what our father said, they also ask for forgiveness. They say, Joseph, please forgive us. Now, our passage tells us Joseph's reaction to this message from his brothers. And Joseph's reaction to that message is this. Joseph wept. He wept. He wept over the message. He wept over the need of the message. He wept over their fear. He wept because it was all unnecessary. He wept because they didn't understand. He wept because they had not understood. He had forgiven them. He had forgiven them years ago. He had been reconciled to them years ago. He wept because they didn't realize, even now, 17 years later, that they were his brothers, not enemies. They were his brothers. So Joseph wept. Now, this picture that we have of Joseph in our passage, this picture of the prince of Egypt, points us to another prince, the prince of heaven, the very Son of God who left his throne in glory and entered space and time and history. The Word who entered creation, taking on flesh, becoming what we are. God made man. Joseph points us to Jesus. And this Prince, Jesus Christ, has served you unto death, even death upon a cross. And through him and through his death, you have forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of transgressions, forgiveness of all the wrongs that you have ever committed against God and against those around you, your neighbor. Through him, through Jesus, and through his death, you are reconciled to God. No longer alienated, no longer separated, no longer an enemy because of your sin. Through Jesus, you are a child of the living God. A son, a daughter, all through faith, all through belief in Jesus. All you have to do is ask and receive. Ask and receive. And know this, in Jesus Christ, you need not fear. You need not be afraid. Your sins are forgiven through Jesus. He's not going to hold it over your head. He's not going to use it as a weapon. He's not going to punish you for it at a later time. He has forgiven you at the cross. He has redeemed you at the cross. You are his brother, his sister. You are not an enemy. He has reconciled you through the cross. Do not fear. Well, Jacob was dead. The brothers were afraid. First, they sent him a message, and second, our passage tells us this, that they actually went to him. First, they sent a message, and then they go to Joseph. They enter Joseph's presence. They bow before him. They offer themselves as his servants. And then Joseph speaks these amazing words to them. And these words that Joseph speaks actually summarize the whole message of the Joseph narrative that we've been looking at for months now. Look at verse 19 again. Joseph says to his brothers, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So first, Joseph offers comfort to his brothers, the same comfort that Jesus offers you. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. And then Joseph explains to his brothers what he came to understand years ago, that what happened to him, that what happened in his life was God's plan, God's will. In other words, Joseph recognized that God was in control, that God is in charge, that he's sovereign, which means this: there are no accidents. There are no accidents. This means that life is not left to chance. Life is not left to happenstance. It's not left to fate. It's not left to the movement of the stars. It's not left to social media posts. It's not left to caprice or whim. But life is left to the Lord, in the hands of the Lord, in the hands of the living God, your heavenly Father. Now, when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, their intent was sinful. Their intent was evil. They wished Joseph harm, but God meant it for good. When Joseph lost his home, and he lost his family, and he lost his father, and he lost all that he knew, God meant it for good. When Joseph was in prison, when he was in chains, when he was unjustly in chains, God meant it for good. God used their evil deeds. He used their sin for good, to carry out his plan. a plan that neither Joseph nor his brothers could recognize at the time. And God's plan was to save. God's plan was salvation. God used Joseph to save his people. God used Joseph to save the family of Egypt. God used Joseph to save countless others in surrounding nations from famine, from starvation, from death. So Joseph could look back at his life and see God's hand, that it was God who guided him, that it was God who directed him, that it was God who led him. And he saw it when he was on the mountaintop, rising from prison to prince. He knew that was God. God meant it for good. But he also saw it when he was in the valleys, when he was wronged, when he suffered, when he was in chains, when he was in prison, when he was alone. God meant that for good. God used it for good. And that's true not only for Joseph thousands of years ago, but it's also true for you. It's true for your life. God does not change. Our New Testament reading was from Romans. We've looked at this passage one other time in our study of Joseph, but Paul wrote this in verse 28 of our Romans passage. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So if you love, if you are God's, if you belong to the Father through Jesus Christ, then you are called according to his purpose. All things in your life work for good. Whatever occurs in your life, whatever happens in your life, God meant it for good. Now, it's not always necessarily good as in material gain or notoriety or success, but for your good, God may draw you closer to himself. God may increase your faith, increase your holiness, transform your heart, show you Jesus even more clearly, or bless others through you. And whatever happens in your life includes where you were born. Whatever happens in your life includes your parents, your children, your friends, the school you attend, your work, your home, the city you live in, the neighborhood you live in. God will use that for good in your life. And whatever happens also includes this. It also includes your suffering. It also includes your sorrow. It also includes your pain, loss, humiliation, tragedy, failure, your struggles. It also includes the harm that others have inflicted on you, the sin that others have committed against you, the evil that others have intended. God will use it for good. You might not see it right at that moment. You might not feel it right at that moment. You might not understand it right at that moment. It was years before Joseph could see the good in what his brothers did to him. But it's true. It's true. God's word is true. So live it. Live it with hope, knowing that your life is in God's hands, and use it, live it with hope, and use it to forgive those who have sinned against you, just like Joseph did. Just like Joseph, whom God used to save. Just like Joseph, who points us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. Thankful that all that happens in our life, all that happens around our lives, it's in your hands. It's because of you. Father, we pray that you would help us to trust in you and in that hope that we have in you, that you will use it for good, that you mean it for good, just like your servant Joseph, whom you used to save, and who points to your son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.